John chapter 1 and verse 12. What a great day it is. How about that weather? Are you enjoying it? Don't let me hear anybody complain, because I will definitely escort you out of the building. That's a long time coming, isn't it? Oh my goodness. And for us to be able to experience that, wow, that was great. I mean, it was like stuffy in the house and hot. And it was like, yes, this is what it's all about. Yeah. So, well, reality back on Tuesday. But nonetheless, we'll enjoy it today and tomorrow. John chapter 1 and verse 12, but as many, let's read it together, ready? But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. You know, we talked about the right or the power or the authority to believe in his name. And when you receive Christ, power or authority is released in your life. Now that's important for us to know, because Psalm 66 and verse 3 says, through the greatness of your power or your authority, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. So when I receive Christ, I receive his power, his authority. And now I understand that it's through that power, it's through that authority that the enemies shall submit themselves to God. Now, isn't that interesting? Because every time that you and I overcome an enemy in our life, we bring them into submission to God. You see, the Lord's chosen to co-labor with us. The Bible said that through the greatness of his power, all of his enemies will submit to him. As a matter of fact, the scripture goes on to say that they'll make his enemies a footstool. That's in Psalm 110 and verse 1. It says, wait till I make your enemies your footstool. So I'm really into this morning. I'm into this because every time I overcome an enemy, I'm revealing God's power, and I'm saying to the Lord, hey, sit down and here's an ottoman for you. Here's a relaxation moment for you, God, because I just made my enemy your footstool. How many would like to give Jesus a little break? Well, maybe not exactly like that, but the scripture does tell us that when we overcome the enemies of our faith, we show his power. And we also create for him a place of rest. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4, if you will, please turn there. It tells us that my speech, Paul was saying, and my preaching, were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Not words of human wisdom. Not persuasiveness, but rather demonstrations of the Spirit and of power. And last week, I'd helped define that for us. I said that we have got to go beyond defining God's demonstration of power by religion or by methods or expression. Some people take it to extremes. They think that the power of God is present in a service when everybody gets loud. No, that's not necessarily so. They'll say that's the power of God when we jerk around and people fall over. Well, that might not be the case either. I'm presenting to us, as I did last Sunday, that the power of God and demonstrations of the Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, are when the enemies of God are defeated in our lives. We have become so programmed in church to act churched that we can go through all of those antics and yet never have victory personally. But I'm really believing today that God is raising up a remnant on the earth that is not only going to go to church, but is going to be the church. Is going to live victoriously over long-standing enemies. That's how I believe Jesus is coming back again, for that kind of a church. I don't think he's coming back for anything less than he left. I believe that God is coming back for a victorious people. Not people that are struggling. Not people that are just getting by, just wondering how they're going to be able to overcome their family problems. No, I think that we're going to see a breakthrough. And it's going to be evident to everyone that this is the church, the blood-bought church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we're operating in a new day. It's called the day of His power. We're operating in a new day. It's the day of His power. And there is a purpose for which God is releasing His power upon Zion. There is a purpose. Many of us have defined that purpose as signs and wonders. We have defined signs and wonders as when people get healed out of wheelchairs, people get miracles, they had cancer, now they're healed. There's nothing wrong with that. But let me tell you something. Those signs and wonders really aren't saving anybody. Oh, see, I didn't get no amens there. It's all right, though. It's okay, because I'm not intimidated. Let me tell you the truth. We have had countless of healings being reported, countless miracles being reported. My goodness, you can't go to some of these healing crusades without seeing 30 or 40 wheelchairs lined up, canes everywhere. People are saying, look what God is doing. And the world is still going to hell in a handbasket. Now, why is that? When we're saying, look at all these miracles, look at all these healings, and the world is skeptical, aren't they? You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking that God's saying, I'm about to reveal my real power, and so that a man who was bound can be free. A man who was self-centered can all of a sudden be others-focused. A woman who has become angry and embittered can become healed and soft and tender again. How? By the demonstrations of my Spirit, by the manifestation of my power, because we are in the day of His power. You see, I'm motivated this morning because I want to bring God's enemies into submission. He gave that assignment to you and I. We have to do it. In other words, one of the enemies to God's kingdom is myself, my selfish ways. So I'm going to die to self. And when I do that, I bring that enemy into submission to God. Or anger. Anger that lashes out and hurts other people. You see, when I bring that anger into submission to God by His authority and through His power, I make that anger His footstool. I'm establishing His kingdom on the earth. We've got to turn our attention from building buildings, crusades, manifestations of demonstrations of the classical moves of God, and say, look at the power of God. We've got to get the people off the air who are buying up Christian TV time, who are saying, God's moving, look at the miracles. Because the fact is, He's saying that, and behind the scenes, He's sleeping with another woman that's not His wife. Now, I didn't get a lot of amens there either, but that's all right. I think the world's looking at all that and saying, okay, enough's enough. Show me the true church. Show me the real power of God. And the real power of God is seen in a life of a man who can stay married to his wife. See? Love his children, right? Serve in the local kingdom. Not be manipulative. And when the seductress comes, he takes his coat off and runs. See, we've got half of that down. We've got half of that down real well. When the seductress comes, we take our coat off. But we forget the running part. What is this power released on the earth for? Number one, this power of God has been given to us for the release of His people. I want you to see Deuteronomy 15, verses 1 and 2. At the end of every 7 years, you shall receive, or you shall grant, a release of debt. That was called Jubilee. And this is the form of the release. Every creditor who has lent anything to his neighbor shall release it. He shall not require it of his neighbor or his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Now I want you to know we're living in that day. This is Jubilee. This is the year of God's power, or the day of His power. Or it is the year of release. It is the day of release. There is no reason why any person who has received Christ as their Lord and Savior cannot be released from bondage. Now these are the testimonies I want to begin hearing about. But we have become sensationalists. We want to look at all the miraculous things that God is doing. And for some reason, the core of the issue doesn't seem to interest us. To cancel a debt is what that word means. It actually means an overthrow, release. It means an overthrow. I'm looking forward to an overthrow. Overthrow of my selfish ideas. An overthrow of my opinions that have to be imposed on everyone else. An overthrow of my anger and my unwillingness to offer forgiveness. An overthrow of that. A release. Because you see, these things are holding us in bondage. A time had come in the life of Israel which required a deliverer. Did you know that? A time had come for Moses to embark on what I call release mission to Egypt. A release mission to Egypt. They got tired of living in bondage. Look at Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 and 25. They got fed up with it. Now it happened in the process of the time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. Next verse. Very good, thank you. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Their groaning, God heard, and He looked upon the children of Israel and acknowledged them. He acknowledged the fact that they were in trouble. But He couldn't acknowledge the fact that they were in trouble until they acknowledged they were in trouble. Did you see that? I'm wondering when the modern church is going to recognize and acknowledge that we're in trouble. Now there should have been a big amen right there. Because church, we are in trouble. At record rates are we seeing divorce. At record rates are we seeing our children walk away from God at age 18 or even sooner. Our record statistics about how the church is as carnal as those who don't even know Christ. We're in trouble. And I don't know about you, but I'm groaning over the fact. When I see these precious children that grow up in our church and love God with all their heart, and they go to children's church and they're in the youth group, and suddenly they're gone. It ought to bother us. It ought to cause us to groan. Or the precious husband and wife that are in our church, and we love them with everything. And over the years, I can mark my years with the pains of the people who have gone through trouble in their life, and they go into divorce, or one of them has an affair, or there's other some kind of situation that occurs. We're in trouble. Drugs and alcohol, and I don't have to give you all the statistics, you know it, but the church is in trouble. But when we acknowledge our trouble, God will acknowledge our groaning. And when He acknowledges our groaning, He will send a minister of release. He will send the release of the Spirit, sort of like Moses. He'll send the release. Living in the seventh year, or the day of His power, gives us assurance of rest, release, and freedom from oppression. It is the year, the seventh year, when you didn't have to plant a crop. Isn't that cool? You can eat out of what the ground gave without your investment. In other words, God said this, you know what? You don't have to work at this freedom. I'll take care of it. It is the ground that was producing because it was the year of release. It was God saying, I will feed you without you even having to plant any seed. You won't even have to sow a seed. You won't even have to plow a field. You won't even have to bring in a harvest that you labored for. I will bring the increase for you. This is what's awaiting the church. Not our own strength. Because when you and I try to do this in our own ability, Pharaoh will never let us go. Look at Exodus chapter 3, 19 and 20. That's exactly what happened. He said, I'm sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not even by a mighty hand. Now, church, please hear me, okay? I am not down playing miracles and signs and wonders. I believe in them. I preach them. I want them. But let me tell you, God said it himself. I'm sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go when you see all the testimonies on TBN. I mean, is that what it's saying? God's saying to Pharaoh, God's telling Moses, look, this isn't going to work. Even if you have a mighty hand. Then look what he says in the next verse, verse 20. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst. And after that, he will let you go. In other words, there's nothing you and I can do to bring about this move of God other than allowing God to release his power in us. Moses was utterly dependent upon God's infusion of power. You know, a lot of us have said, well, what you have to do to get that power is you have to pray like really lots, and you have to read your Bible like a whole bunch, and then you have to pray in tongues like all night, and, you know, you need to go to like church services and Bible schools and get under somebody's anointing so you can get that same anointing. Why have we built an industry around what God said he would give freely? Aren't we really controlling people with our own opinions? I got a feeling God wants to do this more than we do. I've got a feeling God wants people released more than you and I want to be released. So all we've got to do is go in the name of the Lord. You say, well, what is that, Pastor? What are you talking about? You see, I'm going to be a testimony. I'm going to let my light shine. Hey, there's an idea. How about if we all let our light shine? Maybe that'll work. I believe it will work. I believe that when you overcome and your home is not based on the systems of this world, but rather of the systems of his kingdom, those signs and wonders I'll be revealed to those that are holding us in bondage. I'm looking for a church that can live victoriously, that can stop lying, stop gossiping, stop finger pointing at one another. I'm looking for a church like that. Hey, you know what? When you find one, let me know. I believe God's going to raise one up like that in the last days. I don't believe we're going to go out into the rapture the way we are in the condition we are today. I don't believe that. So if you think everything's lined up and ready to go and man, it's only a matter of moments, forget it. I don't believe we're all going to get out of here in a rapture lying our way into heaven, drinking our way into heaven, come on, gossiping our way into heaven, fornicating our way into heaven. Come on now. Do you believe that? Well, I don't either. So what are we looking forward to then? We're looking forward to God shaking up the church. We're looking forward to God changing the whole landscape of what we have defined as church. I'm so happy. I'm so excited about it. I'm believing that God is going to do something that's so spectacular that Pharaoh will no longer have a hold on our lives. Matter of fact, Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses. Now, I like the scripture in Micah. I want you to find Micah. It's a little Old Testament prophet book. Micah chapter 3 and verse 8. And this particular scripture will really help us understand our role in this. Watch. But truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, I want us all to read that and believe that for yourself. Okay? When you read this, I want you to put yourself in that author's place, because that's exactly what the Bible says about you. Ready? Let's read it. But truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. Exactly. We have the power of God within us. Why? Because we have received Christ. To as many as received Him, to them He gave what? The power to become a son of God. To become a son of God. I've got the authority. Power. Become a son of God. That means I can walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus, act like Jesus. I'm going to conform my life to His image and not this world, because I've received His power. This is what Micah said. Now watch. And of justice and might. To declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. This little book, this little prophetic word by Micah, he basically said, I've got the power of God in me. I am full of the Spirit of the power of God. Okay, now what? Now what? Depends on what church you attend and what Pentecostal, classical Pentecostal tradition you're from, or postmodern church era that defines it. It all depends now, because here's how the Pentecostal would define that. Truly, I'm full of the power of the Spirit of the Lord. And I'm going to lay hands on the sick. I'm going to bug and run. I'm going to dance till Jesus comes. Hey! That's not what it says. Read it. Come on, read it. What does it say? And of justice and might to declare to Jacob. Stop. Who's Jacob? Jacob speaks of the old nature. I'm full of the power of God to speak to my old nature. Now, I like that better. Then I've got the Spirit of God on me, and I'm going to go change a nation. How can you change a nation when we can't even change you? How does that work? Can somebody tell me how that works? I'm going to get a bus and I'm going to have an evangelistic ministry and I'm going to go out for Jesus. Good night. How about your children and your wife at home? You know, we have just got this thing so twisted. I guess we just forget to read the Bible. All right, let's read it again. I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of justice and might to declare to Jacob and to Israel his sin. In other words, Jacob, your old nature, this is where you have transgressed the laws of God. This is where you're not conformed to the law of God. So now you need to conform, Jacob. You're no longer going to be Jacob. We're going to wrestle a little bit, and I'm going to change you into Israel. You're going to become a prince. You're going to go from a deceiver into a prince. So I've got the power of God to say to me, Lou, listen, you're going to stop goofing off. And to Israel is sin. Meaning now that even though I've been changed, even though I've got a new nature, there are going to be times when I'm going to sin. But God can speak to that too, because I'm full of the power of God. If we could focus on this, church, if we could start a movement that says we're full of the power of the Spirit of the Lord to deal with our old natures. Now, I'm not sure how many people would come to that church. Because perhaps we like going to church while we're being a renegade. I don't know, you think? Maybe we like feeling justified solically because we go to church, even though we're sinning on the side. I don't know about that. Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe I'm just getting old and, you know, out of touch. Do you understand what I'm proposing for us this morning? To address the old nature. Secondly, for manifestation. The power of God is being released, is given to us for release, and it's given to us for a manifestation. Go to Romans chapter 8, 19 and verse 21. This is a powerful scripture. He said, "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." Did you know all of creation waits for our revealing? Did you know that? Why does it wait for us? Now look, here's what happens. He says, "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly." Oh, I didn't need verse 20. Just give me 21. It's 19, 21. All right, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. In other words, the creation itself will also be delivered from bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. When will creation be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God? Well, you go back to verse 19. When does creation get its deliverance from the corruption? The earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. In other words, when you and I walk in the day of His power, when you and I are delivered from our bondages, all creation goes, that's our moment. That's when we get it. When they get it, that's when we get it. That's why creation is groaning. Oh, man, when are they going to get it? For hundreds of years, there's been glimpses of it. There's been moments of it. There's been seasons of it. But by and large, church, it has become a mockery. And I appreciate admonitions about God's love, and He does love us, and God is smiling at us. But I think there may be a tear coming down through His smile over our sin. What's wrong with talking about sin? Has it become so controversial today that we just want to tell people how much God loves them, and that He's smiling at you, and He's so happy with you? I got to tell you, He's not that happy. He's smiling, and yes, He does love you, but He's saying, come on, guys. Come on, do it. Love that woman. Oh, God, you got to be kidding. He said, I can't do that. He said, I gave you power so you could. You mean I can love that woman? Yes, you can. You received me, you can have authority to love her. Because Jesus did the very same thing. He said, Jesus in Acts 10:38 said that the same Spirit that was on Christ is on us. God says, I have anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with Him. Same anointing. To go where? To go to those that are oppressed by the devil so they can be released as well. See, these taskmasters of control, embittered, angry, addictions, inferiority thinking, lust, ourselves, they're taskmasters of control. They're keeping us in bondage. We don't have to live in bondage to that. You don't have to live in unforgiveness. You don't have to live in anger. You don't have to live under that lustful spirit. This is your day. This is a victory. This is the day of release. You can come out from under that. You don't have to live under that. And some people think, well, you know, God knows me and He still loves me. That's not a doubt. He still loves you. But why not make God's enemies His footstool? Why not bring into submission all the enemies of God by initiating the power that's in your life? That's all I'm saying. Let's make Him the Lord of our lives. Let's make him the controller, not our anger. Let's make him the controller, not our fear. Let's make him the controller, not our lusts. But just make sure we do it in his power, not our own. Because when Moses, chapter 2 of Exodus, he tried to do it in his own power. You know, Moses was grown. He went out to his brother. He looked at their burdens and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew and came in there. And you know the story. He killed the Egyptian. And then later on, he's over there trying to lecture the Hebrews again. And they said, oh, what are you going to do? Kill us like you killed the Egyptian? And off he went. You see, if we try to do this ourselves, we'll become fugitives. And Moses became a fugitive for 40 years in the backside of a desert. You say, what was he learning over there in the backside of the desert? He was learning how to make God's enemies subjected to his power. And he knew that when he came back to Pharaoh, that he would have to come now in the name of the Lord. Acknowledging your sin. You know, there are marriages where you just don't acknowledge your problems. You just act like they're not there. And yet, if you were to talk to the wife or talk to the husband and say, what is the number one situation that you're dealing with, that you're angry about, or that frustrates with you or with your spouse, you'd know what it is. But you know what? You're afraid to tell them. Not necessarily afraid of them, but you know the commotion it causes. You know the upheaval that results. You know. So we learn to live with it. We live under the bondages of a less than perfect marriage. And after a while, you get a little older. You know, you put up with it when you're younger, but you get a little older, it's like, I don't think so. And so you get mean. And then you develop your life. He develops his life. And maybe you meet somebody else and you have an affair, and then she finds out. Doggone it, she had to find out. Why did she find out? She didn't find out. It'd been good. You think that. You just got crazy thinking. And before you know it, you've got marital difficulty. Those are bondages. Lying to your spouse. Speaking words that are hurtful and painful. Those come from a heavy taskmaster. Those come from a controlling agent. And we've got to be able to be honest with ourselves to say, for Christ's sake, I'm going to submit this to the cross. Not for mine, not for my marriage, not for my children. This isn't about what I get out of it. This is what Jesus gets out of it. For Christ's sake. You and I have been given a power pass. Have you ever played Monopoly? You know, you get, what do you get? Get out of jail card. How many could have used that a couple times in your life? Yeah. Get out of jail pass. God's given us a power pass. He said in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, behold, I give you all authority. All authority over all serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. You have a power pass sitting in your lap this morning. A power pass where you and I can get out from under those bondages. It takes humility and dependency on God. Say, Father, you know, I can't keep living like this. I don't want to go on this way. I want to be a better person. I want to reach my destiny. I want to be a church on the earth that you'll be proud to come and receive. Let me say this as I close. The day of his power, it's time to come out from under Pharaoh's domination over the church. I like this statement. It's a great statement. The omnipotent God is your Father. How many know that he's omnipotent, all-powerful? Watch this. The omnipotent God is your Father. Then how can you and I remain a symbol of weakness and defeat on the earth? If he's omnipotent, how can we be defeated? If he's omnipotent, how can we be weak and frail? We must come into His omnipotence, a display of His power on the earth. You say, well, Pastor, I want to do that. That's exactly my heart. This is the key. I'll start it all over again as I close. John chapter 1 and verse 12. Many as received Him, to them He gave power to become sons of God. The key word in that verse is received. So my question is, have you really received Christ as your Savior? You may be sitting there today and going, yeah, but no. I'm going to ask you again. Have you received Christ as your Savior? When you've received something, it alters who you are. When you receive Christ, you take on His nature. With that comes the power to change. And all over this room this morning, you may be here and you say, you know what, Pastor? I don't know that I've really received Him. I want to do that this morning. I want Christ as my Savior, as my Lord. So with your heads bowed, let me ask this question, sir. Do you struggle? Do you struggle with bondages in your life? Are you frustrated? Are you living a life that is empty, void, happiness and peace? Are you finding yourself angry more than you are happy? Ma'am, can I ask you this question just while your head's bowed? Have you really received Christ? Do you find yourself unwilling to release forgiveness towards others? Do you find yourself envying other people? Belittling others, criticizing? Have you become so critical of other people that you can't enjoy relationships? That's a bondage. It really doesn't matter what it is, but every one of us in this room today are candidates to be released because we're in the day of His power. We are in the day of Jubilee when all debts are canceled. So no one looking around, you say, Pastor, you know what? I need prayer this morning and I'd like for the power of God to change me. I want to make a commitment this morning to go home and deal with issues with my spouse. I want to deal with issues with my children. I want to become a better laborer in my job. I want to become a person who others can enjoy. I'm tired of being grumpy and grouchy. I want to lay that at the feet of God. I want to lay that at the feet of Jesus and make it a footstool in His presence. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if that's your request for prayer. And I want to pray for you. Are you ready? One, two, three. If that's you, just hold it up there for a minute. Then you can put it back down. Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else? Thank you. Over here on the side. Praise God. Everybody just look up at me for a minute. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come to You today humbly. I am dependent upon Your grace. And so I ask You now to come and visit me right where I've been living. The bondage I've been under has been partly my choosing. I've settled for less. But today, I understand, is the day of Your power. And I want to receive that power. So I ask You, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart, to be the Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sin. I want to go to heaven. From this day forward, I promise to serve You with all my heart, with all my strength, with all my soul. I receive You as my Savior and my Lord. And I give myself to You as Your servant. Thank You, Lord, for hearing my groanings as I acknowledge my own sin. Come into my heart now. Rule and reign in Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that prayer this morning and you meant it with sincerity, there needs to be follow-up so that you can grow in that power. That's what discipleship is all about. That's why we have Foundations of the Faith class. That's why we teach new believers the basics of the Scripture so that you can initiate this freedom You know, as soon as Israel left Egypt, God began to instruct them how to live as a community. Because you and I can't subject ourselves to the elements of this world in God's kingdom. It's a different kingdom. So we want to encourage you to become part of the discipleship class, foundations of the faith class, and really begin to address some of these issues. One of the beautiful things we have going right now, Eric and Missy are conducting our marriage class after the movie Fireproof, 40 Days to Freedom. You know, submit to that. Get into that class and go to another level in your marriage. You say, oh, we're at the greatest level that can possibly be. Well, then praise God, write a book and go on a circuit. But most of us can go a little higher, don't you think? But take advantage of it and learn how to go to the next level in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Church, my heart's prayer, my heart's desire is that we will become an authentic New Testament Christian church. Not just by exterior signs and wonders and prophecies and the newest fad coming in and dancing and singing and shouting and crusades and revival meetings, but by men and women who know how to live right, love everybody, and pray hard. Who young people that know how to overcome temptation and sin. For the initiation of the power of God that can bring us back together again when we're struggling. And really give God the glory. So can we focus on that? Can we make that our aim as a church? So that we could demonstrate to the community that this word is real. The Bible works. It's just not hype and hula hoop. It's actual living that will change you forever. This is what I believe the world is looking for. This is what I believe the world has been waiting for. I know this is what creation has been groaning for. So let's give it to them. And let's show them right here in Lorraine, God can take a life, change it forever, and you'll never be the same. Amen? Now, as we conclude this morning, it's my pleasure and my joy to introduce someone to you in just a moment. Of course, her family is here with her on the front row. Friday night, how many of you were at the little party we had Friday night? Yeah, it was a pretty cool thing. Had a great time. And Minister Claire Robinson has been part of this ministry since 71 or 2? 68. Well, 68. That predates everybody in this room. The church started a couple of times. In 68, it began in Pearl Avenue in South Lorraine, busted. And then they restarted in 71 at the daycare center on Cooper Foster Park Road, which is now, I don't know what it is, hair salon or something. And has been a leader in this ministry. So much we could say about her, but her testimony is one of righteousness, purity, love for God. Now, she's not perfect. I'm sure she's had her days. And her family could probably say, let me tell you about my mom. But in all seriousness, she has been a strength for us. To me personally, when I started here in 19, whatever it was, 78, no, 80, 1980, I had never pastored before. Didn't know the first thing about it. Just kind of got out there and did it. I learned on the fly. And made some wrong choices. Did some things that probably shouldn't have done. But Minister Claire was always one there that says, you know what, it's going to be okay. Gave me some guidance. Often provided prophetic words of the Lord. I'll never forget one time when we had our first major exodus of people from our church. I thought nobody would ever leave the church, you know. For some reason, I thought, once you come here, you're here for life. But that's not the way it is. But I had that thought. She came to me with a prophetic word about the shepherd and how some of the sheep weren't really part of the fold. And she began to talk to me through the Spirit of the Lord to prepare me. She said, don't worry about it because it'll be all right. And boy, I'll tell you, it wasn't months later, maybe even weeks, that all this began to happen. Had I not had that word, I don't know if I'd have made it through that time. It was devastating. But those are the kind of things that she brought to us. Many times in our staff meetings, we have prayer together on Fridays. We'll be praying for you, praying for the church. And she'll come with a word from the Lord about direction. And we just all thank God for that. And I don't know how, God knows, he'll have to make it up, that we'll make it without you. But God knows. 12 churches in the region have used her as a counseling ministry. Various agencies across the county as well. Juvenile court refers young people there, here and their parents. Nord Center, many others actually. Children's Services, we've worked with them over the years. Got quite the reputation. Over 14 or 1,500 counseling sessions a year. That means for like 8 hours she's listening to people say, "Ah, help me." And that takes a special grace. So it's with great joy and also with great sorrow that we're going to leave her to her family. They're taking her off to a little town in Kentucky near Louisville. It's called Eminence. I thought it was Innocence. But even if it was Innocence, it wouldn't be after you got there, sister, let me tell you right now. Because she's a corker. She knows exactly how to play those tricks on you. But we learned a little bit about the place she's going to. It sounds like a wonderful place. So ladies and gentlemen, I asked Minister Claire to preach this morning. And she said, no, I want you to preach. But I wanted to give her at least a couple of minutes to say farewell and whatever else God's put on her heart. So with me, let's honor this woman of God. Stand to your feet. Let's welcome Minister Claire Robinson. You can be seated.
I'm kind of having, I really am. It hurts a little more than I thought that it would. I knew it would hurt, be some sorrow. You can't be with people this long and not feel sorrow when you're moving away. And I look here and I see people I haven't seen in years, and I see people that I see every day, and my heart will always be with you. But I want you to know that we can all be replaced. I'm passing the baton to someone who will take the ministry that I was involved with and take it to another level, which was not meant for me to go. So that's great excitement, and I want you to look forward to that. I want you to be a very friendly church. I want you to laugh. I want you to have fun. When my children first went to the Louisville area and were looking for churches, of course, they knew to find a church where we're all colorful, all different nationalities. And I remember Sherry saying, I would say, well, they're telling me this church or that church. And she said, they didn't come out joyful. It was long, kind of sad faces. And she went to this one church, and she said people were so friendly. And as they left the church, they were all laughing. And is that, I don't know how you phrase it, just had fun. So let's not be sour Christians. And what a word we heard today. This is the year for the church. This is the year for Jubilee. So I want you to get involved. I want you to get involved as never before. Because this is where the life is, giving your life for people that are waiting just for you. But my greatest acknowledgement today, and I'm going in this direction, is the men's ministry. Oh my God, the wonderful men that are coming here for help, coming just the way they are. And I dare you to look down your religious nose and not receive them. Just the way they are. And the beautiful balance of the Holy Spirit is when He tells us, but by the grace of God, you would be right where they are, or you would be worse. So I want you to be friendly. Women have a way of being friendly with each other, going out for a cup of coffee, but men are not that easy to be friendly. So I'm challenging you men today. When you see a gentleman here that you haven't seen in a while, or they're a new person, I want you to introduce yourself to them, get acquainted with them. I just met a young man who is coming here now. He loves to fish. I'd like to connect him to some fishermen in here. And so you will only know that by getting acquainted and introducing yourself. When Philip was told to leave the revival and go to the desert and attach himself to a chariot, well, we don't have chariots today to attach ourselves to. What the Bible was saying was get acquainted with this man that's sitting in this chariot. Now, you're having fun here, and there's a revival, but I want you to go meet that one person today. So Philip goes, and getting attached to the chariot meant, well, hello, how are you? And the guy in the chariot, we know it was a eunuch, invited him up into the chariot, and he said, I'm reading something that I don't understand. And we know that he was reading in the book of Isaiah where Jesus was led like a lamb to the slaughter. Philip explained to him what that meant. And from the old King James Version, that's all I grew up with, that's all we had back then. So when the Holy Spirit brings scripture to me, I have to say it like this. And he said, the eunuch said, I perceive there's some water over there. Can I be baptized? And he was baptized. So there's someone waiting for you to attach yourself to their chariot, to their life, to get to know them. And that's my goal today. And that's my attention today, is the men to be more loving to one another. Well, that's not the word for men to say for men. Be friendly. I love all of you. And I'm going to a wonderful church. A great church. The senior pastor was mentored by Lester Sumrall, who was a pastor was mentored by, so you can see the connection. But also, a pastor has always told us, when we get to heaven, we'll meet on the north side. And I must tell this pastor, excuse me, Pastor Parrish, I'm going to go meet some people over on the north side, but I'll be back, okay? God bless all of you.
Amen. You can be seated for just two more seconds. Well, let's say 90. How many would like to bless Minister Claire as she leaves? Send her away. Blessed. You want Eminence to know that we're sending them a prophet. We're sending them the word of the Lord. You should know that. You let them know that. Because for how many ever years she's been here, she's brought the word of the Lord to us. And she'll give it to you. She gives it to you straight. She doesn't water it down. She doesn't put no Coke in it. She gives it to you straight up. It's stiff, but with love. It's like a shot from the doctor. It's going to hurt, but you need it. And so we send the word of the Lord to Eminence. And I hear there's a place down there called Pleasureville. Pleasureville. We don't want to hear of you going down to Pleasureville, Minister Claire. You stay away from it. If she goes down to Pleasureville, you call us and we'll come down there and chase her out of there. Let's prepare a gift this morning. Don't feel pressured. But if you'd like to bless Minister Claire, this great woman of God, this great prophet of God, who knows where the brook Cherith is. God has revealed to her where the brook is for those who are thirsty. Let's prepare a gift this morning. We want to bless her and send her on her way blessed. As you prepare your gift, let's pray for her this morning. Amen. You make your checks payable to Clara Robinson, not to Church on the North Coast. This gift is going to go straight to Minister Claire Robinson. So Claire Robinson will get all of these gifts. Let's pray for her this morning. Father, we bless Minister Claire this morning. We send her out under the power and the unction of the Spirit. She is released, God, to go and release others where she is headed, Lord. She is bringing the year of release, a year of your redemptive power and authority to where she is headed. God, it is called imminence. God, it's because you are sending her there. You are sending her there for an imminent word, God. A word in season to those who are weary. We bless her, God. We bless her family and her children. We declare they are saved of the Lord. God, they walk in the authority and the power of your word. We declare, God, as she leaves this place, she touches others by the mighty power of God. Your hand is strong upon her. The word of the Lord is powerful inside of her. She's not done yet. There's another mountain to climb in Eminence, Ohio. God, she is coming with the word of the Lord for a people who need it. And we just send her away blessed. And we thank you, God, for allowing us to be graced by her presence. We bless her now in Jesus' name. Amen. We love you, Minister Claire. One more time for Minister Claire Robinson. At this point, if you can give Bruce Hall, he's a board of director, he's going to come for 30 seconds and share just a brief word about how we're going to celebrate Pastor Kayton's birthday next week.
Amen. Well, as you guys, some of you guys know, yesterday was Pastor's birthday. And we are celebrating his birthday next week, May 3rd. So we ask you, if you will, we'd like to bless him with an offering as well for all the work he's done for us, all the marriages he's helped, and our children that he's counseled, and all the hours that he's put in, and his unselfishness and his family's unselfishness to share him with us. Amen? So be prepared. Again, don't feel obligated to give if you don't want to, but May 3rd, next week, we will be honoring our pastor. Amen. If you have any questions about water baptism, our cell groups, if you can, back there at the tables with the lights, if you have any questions, you can meet one of our elders back there. And we're going to go ahead and close in prayer. Amen. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the word, Father. We thank you, Father, that it will resonate in our heart this week, Father. We pray, Lord, that it would change our minds, Father. You said that you can take a heart of stone and replace it, Father, with a heart of flesh. So, Father, we pray where our hearts have been hardened to you, Father. Lord, that you would take those things away, Father, that you would renew our hearts, Father, and gear them towards you, Father. Father, we thank you, Lord, Father, that we're not concerned, Father, with the signs and the wonders that pass. We're talking about all those things are good, Father, but we pray that we will exhibit to this world, Father, the signs and wonders, Father, changing our hearts, changing our minds, Father. We pray, Lord, that we wouldn't have raggedy thoughts, Father. We wouldn't be raggedy Christians, Father, with raggedy mouths, Father. But, Lord, we pray that we will declare your word, Father, that we will declare with our lives, Father, with our actions and with our ways, Father. So, Lord, walk before us this week. Walk before us this week. Walk before us this week, Father, and prepare a place, Father. Lord, where we can be with you in that secret place, Father. And, Father, even at our jobs, Father, and with our families, Lord, let us exhibit to them you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.